Well, good morning. You know, it's really good to be in the dead center of God's will. There's nothing like it. You know, and I'm sure we've been there, done that. We've prayed on our knees. We've bowed down on our beds, prayed, and we've sought the Lord's will. And you know, it's not an easy thing to do because we have God's will up here. His ways are not our ways. And then we have our own independent will that we want to do what we want to do, right? You know, I never did believe that God created us as robots. It just never worked, you know. But God has given us a free will, amen? He's given us something to be thankful for. Now, don't confuse that with God's in control of everything. God is in control of things, and he will raise people up in governments, and he will bring people down from governments, as we've seen this past election, as we've seen with Israel, okay? New prime minister, very liberal. And now Iran, too. God allowed that to happen. So they have very much of a strong type of man there who's very much anti-American. So, looking at God's will, as we had our scripture verse read to us, Romans chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I'll say it again. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, and without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by means now at length I might have the prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. Paul had prayed, remember, previously, a few years back, that he'd be able to come to Rome. And, you know, it wasn't until the third missionary journey, remember how he was shipwrecked, he was bitten by a snake. Look at the end of Acts, the last chapter of Acts, it'll tell you the whole story. And actually, he was able to stay there in Rome. Once he got there in Rome, he thought, well, I can come visit you all. And then he got in trouble with the Jews there. And of course, he's a Roman citizen. Eventually, he had to go before, you know, he didn't want to, but then he had to go before Nero, and then he was under house arrest. So sometimes, even for Paul, being in God's will, it was very difficult. He wanted what was best, and I guarantee you here this morning, you all want what is the best for everybody here, amen? For families and loved ones, you know, looking at the fireworks last night, I thought that was kind of neat. Last time I seen him was, you know, down there in Arizona. And you know, you look back and sometimes you see things and you're saying, you know, Lord, I'm seeking your will. Anyway, I'm going to give you a warning here, what not to do. Okay? A lady who had a lifetime ambition of going to the Holy Land, she got a pamphlet on the Holy Land tour and read it over carefully. She had time and the money to make the trip, but she wasn't certain if it was God's will. So before going to bed that night, she read again the pamphlet and noticed the details of the plan. And they would be traveling on the 747 jet there and back. She wrestled through the night, tossed back and forth, wondering what God's will might be. And she woke up the next morning, longed to look at her digital clock. And of course, it read 747. And she was convinced that it was time for her to make that trip, okay? What? Not a wise thing to do. Let me give you two more short stories here. What not to do, okay? There was a man who held out his fleece before God. We know what happened there with Gideon in the book of Judges. Twice he put it out there, and God answered prayer. One time it was wet, one time it was dry. You remember that, of course, okay? And I do that sometimes. I say, Lord, here it is. You know, close all the doors, but open one door. One door. It's not good to have three doors open at the same time. Amen? It gets a little confusing, and the devil can really play havoc with you. One only. You know? Anyway, this man went ahead, and you might have heard this. This man decided he's going to work all the time, and his friends at work were saying, you know, George, you really, you know, it's not good. You're really overweight. Need to lose some weight. He goes, well, I go by the bakery every day. He goes, oh, I can smell the smell. Oh, man, it smells so good. He's going back and forth. And finally, he went before God. He says, God, all right, if there's no parking spaces if there is a parking space, excuse me, that's open, I know that you'll want me to go there to get some baker goods. If it's not, they're all closed up, I'll just drive by. Okay? But what George got fleshly, and he didn't get serious with God. Sometimes we look to God's will, and we don't get serious. And God takes no pleasure in fools. He does it. That your yeses be yeses, your noes be noes. You know, don't. I have learned not play with God. I really don't want to do that. So anyway, he went around the parking lot three times. And finally one opened up. I was like, praise God. You know, I think God was winking his eye at him. You know, that means being patient. Doesn't mean God plays games. That means being patient. So anyway, George never got over his issue. So that was not being serious. And the third one is being dangerous about God's will. These are three no-nos. There is an example of Christians who used to open the window, and you've heard of this one too. The method of seeking God's will. You put your Bible by the window, and the pages blow, and you put your finger on that verse. One man did that and pointed to the verse, Judas went and hung himself. Not a very good life verse, and he did it again. And this time put his finger on the verse that said, go and do thou likewise. And he was like, oh, I got to do this again. And he opened up the window again. The pages flew by, and he said, the third verse he found said, whatsoever do thou doest quickly. Some things can be very dangerous when we do things like that, okay? We got to be careful to take God seriously because he takes us seriously, okay? And so we look at Romans chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And so what is God's will for my life? We're going to look at three kinds of facets of God's will. And then second of all, we're going to be seeking God's providential will. And there are five areas there, okay? And over the years of my experience, and I'm sure you've all done this before, or you've at least touched on it, and maybe some of you haven't. And so looking at this, you know, what devout person has not asked a question like this? And how can I live in harmony with the will of God? If we're looking at the facets of God's will, there's three kinds. There is the proclaimed will of God, number one. It's proclaimed, okay? And we see this, he has done this through the revelation of the Word of God. That's the biggest problem most people I've met. They don't go to the Word of God, okay? And so when we see this in the Word of God, it's done through revelation by sending its prophets. We see that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1, 1. And it says, God, who in sundry times, in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by their prophets. So they knew even back in the Old Testament what the will of God was. And obviously then we see number two is by sending his son Jesus Christ. Later on, fast forward in time, Jesus Christ came and he died for us sinners. And I say us sinners because we're all sinners. But we thank God he loves us, and by grace we are saved. Amen. It says, hath in these first days spoken to us by his Son, whom hath appointed heir to all things, by also he made the worlds. Created everything. He knows everything. He even knows when an ant's crawling on the ground. He's a sovereign, you know. Somebody said, well, how can you question God's will? You can't, because he's sovereign, okay? You know, the clay cannot say to the master molder, what'd you do that for? You know, yes, we do. We do that all the time. You know, a lot of times I should have been dead because of accidents and things. And likewise, I'm sure you all have been there, done that too. You know, by God's grace, we're all here. Then we see also that by having the Spirit guide of the apostles, we have the Holy Spirit that guides us. In John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. I have yet many things, Jesus says, to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How about when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, he speak, and he will show you things to come. So, but listen, when we want God's will, we have to obey, amen? It's a big difference when God says, I want you to do this, and you're like, nope, I don't want to do it. God's saying, I want you to do it because I love you. I want what's best. But Lord, it's going to hurt. Jesus says in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You know, going over here, John chapter 14, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. And you believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it were no so, I would have told you. So I go to prepare a place for you. I always look forward to going to heaven, going home, always do. But I also know I'm a realist. And I know that I have a son who doesn't know Christ. Okay? He played it through because he was a pastor's kid for years. And then he just went the wrong way. I have a daughter who's saved, who loves the Lord, married a godly man. Two wonderful grandchildren. Got saved in Awanas up in Alaska. Great, great. Okay? But I'm always praying. I'm always seeking. All these people out there we see over the holidays, there's all kinds out there. And I'm thinking, Lord, where do I start? You know? So pray for God for wisdom. Anyway, then we see also it's God's proclaimed will that we are saved in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Matthew chapter 7 here, in verse 21, it says here that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of God, will of my Father, which is in heaven. So if we're doing God's will, if we're doing what we're supposed to do, and yeah, many times, like it says in Proverbs, a righteous man falls down and then he gets back up. We've all been there, right? But we get back up. Say, whoops, I'm not doing what's right. Lord, I need to get alone. I need to get in my prayer closet, or I need to be praying with my wife or praying with people at church or whatever. I want to do what's right. So we're looking at the God's proclaimed will through Jesus, the prophets, through the Holy Spirit. And then we see there is God's permissive will. And people say, well, why do tornadoes happen? Why do hurricanes happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? And that's where they came out with originally with the blues back in, when I was in the Mississippi Delta. They came out with that bad things happen to good people. Well, let me tell you something. We live in, and I've told people this. There's one lady that was there in Oklahoma, and I'll never forget this. She goes, you know, my place was, my town, my little trailer was okay. But my next door neighbors was destroyed. How can God do something like that? And I said, you know what? We live in a sin-cursed world. It's the curse. Even the animals suffer. Everybody suffers. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen? So there are answers to it. And unfortunately, people don't have answers to God's permissive will. They get angry. Uh-oh, they get angry. My son, he's angry because of Christians. Because they've let him down. I said, oh, son, please, forgive, forgive. What are you compared? We have a lot of unforgiving people today, which is, unfortunately, they're angry at God because of God's permissive world, because we live in a sin-cursed world. A couple examples here found in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. It says, in times of his ignorance, God winked. Again, it means he's being patient. It means he doesn't kid around. Okay, he loves us. It's either a yes or no. And but now commended of all men everywhere to repent. God wants people to repent. They can see it in nature that there is a God. They all can see it in conscience. People have a conscience. They know, right? And also we have the Word of God. Okay, so people without excuse. People know. Many people I've witnessed to, and they'll just give me a half answer. You know, oh yeah, I believe there's God. That's good enough for me. But, you know, really, I don't want to get serious with him. Come on. I got too much. I got pleasures to do. I got the good life to do. I have all the responsibilities, but I'm too busy for God. And that is one of the biggest issues I've run up against being an evangelist, is too busy. But then God wants every man to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world of the righteousness by that man whom he ordained, wherefore God, he hath given assurance unto the men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Thank God we have a risen Savior. Thank God we have the resurrection. You know, people are living in this world, you know, doing their thing, especially over the 4th of July weekend. I'm very thankful for our independence. But are we dependent on God? And yet you have people, a lot of people running out there enjoying themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. But where are they at with God? Where are they at with God? And we need to be praying for two people that are traveling. People aren't here. People doing this and that. And then also we see God allows things in his permissive will that, like it says in Isaiah chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, you know, when you had the Syrian army come down and invade Israel. And, you know, you've seen, heard about things like that. You read about things about that. And unfortunately, some horrible things happened to Israel. But it says here in Isaiah 10, 5 through 7, oh, the Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff of the hand of my indignation, I will send him against a hypocritical nation, against the people of my wrath. I will give him charge and take spoil, and will take the prey, and tread them down like mire in the streets. How about he meaneth not so, neither doth he heareth think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off the nations, but not a few. Remember what happened with Israel. They rebelled, they rebelled, they rebelled. God just, you know, took the nation away in captivity twice. God sometimes will bring things into our lives to get our attention. So, but there's God's permissive will. People say, oh, war is a horrible thing. It is. If you've ever been in the military, it is very, very bad. Okay? Having to shoot somebody, okay? To kill somebody. It's not murdering somebody. You know, thou shalt not kill. It doesn't mean going out to war. It just means thou shalt not murder, meaning taking somebody's life for no reason at all, to murder somebody. And then we see we live in a sin-cursed world. Then we see, thirdly, there is God's providential will. God acts providentially in our lives and applied in our text. We see in with Paul, in Romans chapter 15, in verse 32, he says, that I may come unto you with the joy by the will of God and may be with you, be refreshed. Remember, Paul was under house arrest, but what did he do? He declared Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And what did he do? He wrote those four epistles, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. He did all that. He took his time. Don't ever forget this. If you get one thing out of this message this morning, if you think for a minute that, you know, you're stuck somewhere and you can't get out, remember, God can use that for good too. Amen. God can use that. Like I said, last time I was here, a month ago, I can't believe it. A month, you know, time flies by. It's that you can pray. We can pray. Absolutely. I learned that from my mother. Pray, 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 you know. Read God's word, you know, if anything. Keep our minds and our thoughts off the things of the world. They can just drag us down. Look what's happened to our youth. Our youth have disappeared because of things of the world. And we need to get them back into church. Parents need to get involved. I found out one thing being a youth pastor years ago and working with churches over the years is that parents don't get involved like they used to, bringing their kids out. And I'm not pointing fingers here at anybody. I'm pointing, all of them pointed at me. You know, as a parent, was I taking my kids out to church? Were they telling their friends about God? So it's something to pray about. We need to get our youth back into church because the youth is quickly going right into the world. And it's nothing new. It's nothing new. This has been going on for years. And then we see here that with providential will, like with Paul, I like what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is one of my favorites here, and I'm sure you probably could memorize it just by saying it. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, how do we bring our youth in? Well, you go to high schools, go to the principal, invite them to come out to church. That can work, you know. We've done this before. Kimberly and I have had sports figures come on out, okay? until they started getting really expensive, okay? But some of them would come for free. You know, football, basketball, we've had them. Baseball, okay? Get them out here, okay? And people say, what's different about that church? Oh, yeah, Jesus, that's what it's about. And then we see number three, we see for such reasons we should pray regardless of our plans. And this is a lot of things that people make mistakes in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. It says this, go now that you say that day or tomorrow, and we will go into such a city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what you shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor which appears for a little and then vanishes away. For if you ought to say, it is the Lord's will, we will do this or that. And so we have to be careful. You know, Lord, if it's your will, I like to say, Lord willing, you know, it's not that I'm not interested or I'm just in the middle. I don't like to be in the middle. I like to be yes or no. And God's saying, well, you have to be in the middle. Well, I have to wait. I have to wait. That's totally different. But, you know, you had some people that were presuming God's will and they went on ahead like in James times. And even today, we can fall into that trap if we're not careful. So we should be praying regardless of our plans. And then one last area is our requests are answered if they suit God's will. The Lord gives us what we want as long as the desires of our heart, as long as we seek God's will. And this is the confidence that we have of Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Like I said earlier, unfortunately, some people don't want God's will, and they wonder why they have a lean spirit. We should have a fat, you know, healthy spirit. Say, Lord, I'm thankful. You know, you've called me to, each one of us has been called to do God's will in a different way. And if we know that, if we hear us whatsoever we ask, we shall know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We desire of Him. So we look at the facets of God's will, and then we see God's providential will. And there are five areas there in wrapping this up. To begin with, a proclaimed will of God. You know, people have told me, it says, you know, oh, we all have a destiny. I said, well, we all have a way. You know, it's just like when my nephew died overseas in Afghanistan, the chaplain told him, he says, you know what? He told my sister, hey, it was God's time to take him home. Time, okay? It's you know, we all have a time. We all have a time. That's why my wife and I, says, like, if we go down the road, heading back after we're done here with all y'all, and we have an accident and die, well, you know what? God allowed that to happen. He could allow that not to happen, you know? He's always in the center, and it's always something that gives you peace, you know? And so we need to, number one, begin with the proclaimed will of God, to study diligently, learn about what God has revealed. And then we see also we need the value of focusing on the proclaimed will of God. In other words, number one, go to the Word of God, please. Yeah, we have to. Some people say, what is God's will? Well, to get to know his word, number one. Have that fellowship with him alone, okay? Stay away from the foolish examples that I gave you at the beginning of the sermon. Number two, seek advice from others. Nothing better than that. Put away our pride, okay? Discuss your alternatives with older, mature Christians. Well, go to Proverbs. Go to Ecclesiastes. Consult wisdom found in the Bible, especially in books like we just mentioned. And then we see number three is ask God for wisdom. Remember, there's worldly wisdom, and then you have godly wisdom. Be careful, because worldly wisdom sometimes looks all good. Remember, the devil always makes things look real good, but it's all wrong. So we see that we need to ask for wisdom. Remember, it's knowledge with our experience. That's what wisdom is. And then with wisdom, it enables us to give us insight. Quickly, I'm going to turn over here to James chapter 1, and verses 5 through 8. And I'm sure a lot of you know these verses, but thank God they never get old. See, in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven and from the wind tossed. And let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we have to go back to seeking for God's wisdom. Amen. Okay. Then we see, fourthly, commit our way to the Lord. Commit our ways to the Lord. In other words, leave ourselves open to what God wants us to. Whatsoever you do, do it with all for the Lord's sake. Then we see also that we make our plans subject to God's will, proclaimed and providential. Give God permission to close the door on our choice if it is his will. And if he closes the door on our choice, look for alternatives, okay? If God closes the door, don't ever try to open it, you know? God gives us sometimes windows of opportunity. But then also, at times, he tells us, you know, it's not like we have to go, we have 15 doors. It doesn't like we have to go check each door. I pray, Lord, just open the one. Keep the others all shut, amen? And there's many areas that we have to be careful, because we're all stewards here. We're all going to be accountable for what we do with our lives, and pray for that one door to open. It's like, oh, right, you know? And if God says no about that, you know what? Praise the Lord. We should give thanks in all things, amen? And then we see here, last but not least, some other things to consider. God is not like a train. He is able to run on more than one track. You know, he can do whatever he wants to do. And, you know, sometimes we think, God, you can't do that. Oh, yes, he can. You know, and remember, too, that the choice may not be between good and bad, but sometimes be good and better. There's a guy I was talking to this past week. He says, you know, I didn't get the job I wanted. And I said, you know what? God's got something better. Always encourage one another. Encourage one another. It's so important, because sometimes we might say something wrong and it could just hurt somebody. You got to be careful what we tell people. Okay. And then so God's always got something better. And then see, three, God can use and use us in many different ways if we let him. If we let him. And then four, if we need not choose right away, wait, that will give you time to grow and gain in wisdom. Sometimes we have to be active, being filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, on and on and on. We need to have that in our lives, because we need to be controlled by the Spirit so we know what the will of God is. And especially in certain circumstances, you're like, I have no idea what to do. But God, you do. Sometimes this is the best answer. So I don't know what to do. But, you know, let him take care of things. And then whatsoever your hands find, do it in existing circumstances, do with all your might. Get busy for God's will. Get busy. Because we were created, one, to have fellowship with God, two, to work at this. And then we see, last but not least, my prayer is that we all will stand in God's perfect will. We want God's perfect will. I don't want his permissive will. And I don't want other things happening in my life. I desire, and God will do what he wants, amen, that I want his perfect will. And so standing complete in that. And so, especially if it pertains to the proclaimed will of God, that, you know, his word as much as possible in his providential and permissive will of God. Bad things happen. And yet when that happens, you know what? We have to praise God anyway. Amen. We have to. What choice am I going to have? You know, and God will reveal to me, because he loves me. He loves me so. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, that little verse, but a little song, excuse me, but God knows that. And now, love, and closing with this, I like what Christ said to this when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, he says, Father, not my will, but your will. Remember that? Christ came in as a servant, and he lived as a servant. And we trust him as his people, as servants of God. Matthew, turning over there, Matthew chapter 26, and Matthew chapter 26. In verses 39 through 42, it says, And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. That's Jesus saying, "Oh, my Father, let it be possible. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples, finding them asleep, and saith to Peter, "What, could ye not watch with me for an hour?" Remember, at the same time, you had the Lord's Supper in this chapter. You had Peter went ahead that same night. All this was going on. Listen to me. You had Peter denied the Lord three times. You had the Garden of Gethsemane. Then right after that, you had Judas come with his the Jewish captain of the guard and the soldiers, the priest, and arrest Christ. And Peter then, he even chopped off the one of the soldiers' ears. And he wasn't supposed to do that, you know, because Peter was learning. We're all learning. Even though we see examples of the disciples here, we're all learning. You know, I'm still learning. Nobody ever achieves perfectionist. You know, help us if we ever run into that, because that causes pride. But it says, "Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." He says, "Say, listen, you just got in trouble. You got out of the will of God. You need to listen." And Peter, remember, Peter was the spokesman of the group. And he got himself in trouble big time because he wanted to help Christ. And that's the worst thing about God's will. God doesn't need my help. God wants me to follow as a servant. Amen. He wants me to follow him, do what he wants me to do. "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went away again a second time, prayed, saying, "My Father, if the cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." So Jesus gave the example. That cup was an example of wrath, God's wrath on the Lamb of God. And it happened, okay? Remember, he was arrested, then he false charges. There's nothing worse than somebody lying about you and saying false things about you and then getting beaten for it and then getting carried away and being crucified on the cross. This horrible things happen, but you know what? God's greater is he than it's in us and he's in the world. God's love is greater than all that can happen. Even Satan found out later on, the accuser, the little god, he found out the devil that, you know what, if he knew what he had done, he would have never crucified Christ. But then I read that over the years and studied and prayed about it. You know, there's no love, there's no truth in an adversary. And he cannot be everywhere at once. So he's not omniscient. He's not, you know, sovereign. So thank God we're on the victory side, amen? When it comes to God's will, all we have to do is obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way, you know? And God gives us our freedom, amen? 4th of July, we got it. Very thankful for a celebration we have in a free country, because living in a foreign country like I did for a couple years, you can sense the unfreedom, as I would call it, being in the Czech Republic in Europe, and the post Lord has me ever come back here again, the post-communist sense that there is no freedom. And they keep eyes on you. And you have to watch out for your neighbor. And you can't trust people. And you're only given very little bit because the government's in control of everything. They lied to you. They said, "We'll take good care of you." But then they got you. And they don't like Christianity because it's complete opposite of communism. Socialism. We really need to be praying for our country too. Some people just don't learn, I guess. But I'm not going to even go there.